You were listening to the 1 Million Cups of Appleton. We are a group designed to educate, engage, and inspire entrepreneurs in central Wisconsin and beyond.
Thank you, Eric. Yeah, thanks so much for having me today. I really appreciate it. I am happy to see you folks again. I don't know if you recall, but I was on a while back and I'm happy to be on representing a different business. So I'm going to go ahead and share my screen, if that's all right. I did bring a presentation to share with you and just give you a little bit of the background of what I'm doing. And then I have one major question. So the business that I've been working on with a couple partners is called Fireproof. And as I share with you a little bit about the kind of the way that we've built the business, my question for you today is, should we specialize? Should we go deep in the same vein of what we've been doing with one industry or look to generalize a little bit? So with that, the backbone of our business is the book that was launched, and it was only launched in June of this year. So we're about 3 months in, and it has been uber successful, kind of, you know, the book sales on Amazon and other spots. But it also has incited a lot of organic kind of requests for help. And the book, I'll read the tagline to you. It's a 5-step model to take your law firm from unpredictable to wildly profitable. So the book was written by these two gentlemen as a way for them to document kind of all of the things that they've done through the course of building their law firm, how they were able to succeed. So the book documents the story and also the premise of the business. And what happened, as I mentioned, is that the book launched and people said, oh my gosh, this is awesome, but we need help. How can you help me to put these tenets in practice at my law firm? So Mike Morris on the left and John Nockhazel on the right, these are the two authors of the book and my partners in this business. And so Mike Morris owns the top personal injury law firm in the state of Michigan. So he's been an attorney for decades. They started this business about 20 years ago, and they were kind of like, you know, in the at the very beginning, Mike had a single, you know, he was the only attorney. He hired a paralegal. They were like $1 million in revenue a year. And then it started growing and it was like $5 million in revenue a year. And then their building burned to the ground, literally. So he had to start all over. And that was kind of the reason for the book's name, is that they built this system which could really see the team through any hurdles. It was very, you know, system driven, very focused on the business principles to make it, you know, scalable, make it successful, et cetera. So he hired John. John is actually not an attorney, but is the COO of the business. He's a businessman. He's not an attorney. And they took it from kind of that 5 million mark to 160 million a year. So, you know, they've had this exponential growth in the last 12 or so years. And they wrote about it in this book of how to really help others. So we right now are currently serving other law firms. That is who organically came to the table and said, we need help doing what you've done. Teach us the methods, teach us the ways that you've done this. And I'm going to take you through kind of the three tenets of the way that we've helped folks. But again, if you'll kind of have in the back of your mind my question, which was, should we continue to go deep on law firms or to go a little bit wider and open it up to other sectors? So the first is data. And I will tell you that the brilliant way that this book was written, it talks about how a specialist, right? They're an artist of their craft. So these lawyers are very, very good at law, but they're not always great at the back end of the business. The things that, you know, make the business money, the things that, you know, kind of put the process in place to allow it to really work, that back end factory. They also haven't necessarily done the marketing. But anyway, focusing on the data for a second, the lawyers and these law firms, you know, if we ask them things like, well, you know, what are your most profitable cases and what are your most productive and efficient teams? They just kind of don't really know how to find the data or where the data is or how to even analyze from that data. And certainly they haven't gotten to the point where they've been able to predict their business. So they're not able to really get the data in a way that they can manage it. So one of the pieces that we have built is a Jumbotron. We call it the Jumbotron. It's just a fancy, you know, kind of a fun word for, we just feed back to them their data in a way where it's easy, it's simplified, it's organized, and it's very visual, frankly, so that they can make decisions based off the data. allowing them to kind of make decisions and motivate their business. The second component of what we've done is build a roadmap for them of marketing. So obviously, Mike and John have built a thriving business. They've been able to leverage pretty much every marketing tool over the years. And not that it's a one size fits all, but we kind of know which levers to pull because essentially these law firms want people to call, get the awareness out there so that if someone needs an attorney, they know how to get a hold of them. So we're able to help our clients kind of understand and navigate this, whether it's leveraging digital or, you know, TV advertising, et cetera. And then the third piece is really setting up that system that is generating an accountable team that's aligned on the priorities of the business. And again, I feel like if folks, you know, from the business capacity feel like, oh, yeah, that's just, you know, typical business stuff. I will tell you that, again, I don't feel like many of the law firms have set themselves up in this vein. So data, marketing, and really having this system. A lot of the times when we work with our clients on the system front, we are managing their weekly cadence of team meetings. So probably meeting with kind of their leadership, helping them through kind of what are the priorities for that week? How are they going to manage the issues that come up? Do they have the right team in place? Do they have the right issues that they're bringing to the surface, et cetera? So we haven't completely launched our website yet. In fact, if you go to the website, you'll see that it's just about the book, but we're building it for this consulting arena. And I would say the hope is that we've got, you know, really heavy service, really high touch right now. And, you know, we're working with a lot of really big law firms that need kind of that, you know, high service-driven model. But I'm hopeful that we're going to, you know, kind of be able to serve the long tail of the law firms through the country as well in a digital format, which might be a little bit more self-implemented. So anyway, this is all to say I'm kind of in the works of providing a couple of tools that will be available via an online system. So hopefully you got a sense of what we're doing. My question again is, should we continue to go deep on law or should we broaden our horizons and service other industries, other artisans of their craft, like an orthodontist that, you know, is really great at their orthodontist, but they haven't set up the background, the backbone of building a scalable system or building a marketing method to really motivate their business. So that's just one example. I would say medical, other businesses, even restaurants, even, you know, other places in the world. So with that, I'll open it up if that's okay.
Hi, this is Amy Peach with the Venture Center. And thanks for your presentation this morning.
Thanks, Amy.
I was just thinking, you know, a quick search shows there are about 50,000 law firms in the U.S. So the data shows you've got quite a market, and it sounds like you've found a niche that is working for you. And I don't know how many clients you want to have, but before you would expand into other sectors, you might just consider how much of that market that you've identified that is really interested in what you're doing, how many more could you attract before you move into other sectors? But definitely what you're talking about, I'm very familiar with. Most people probably on the call who work with entrepreneurs and business owners and being that themselves understand what you're talking about. A lot of people that go into business aren't business people, right? So you've got definitely, you know, with the data and the marketing roadmap and the systems that you help them create, you definitely have something that would appeal to other business owners in other sectors. But since you've already got good traction with the clients you have, and that's who the book was intended for, you might still have just a lot of opportunity in that niche of attorneys.
That's great. Thank you, Amy. That's great.
I would also add to that, that based on the brand, the way you describe your brand at this point, it starts with this book, and this book is specifically tailored to how to build a law firm. I would almost feel like you would kind of be distorting that brand if you started to segue off into other businesses. I almost feel like you'd have to, if you were going to go as a more generalized way, you'd want to do it under a different brand.
Oh, interesting.
That more talks about just building a business, you know, doing those back end tools rather than having this book out there that's talking specifically about law firms and saying, but we help everybody.
Yeah, no, that's great, Eric. I think so. You know, it's, I think, well, okay. I can talk out of both sides of my mouth because I would say I definitely agree. Specializing, you know, we've got this very captive audience and frankly, we've got the credibility, we've got the expertise in the law sector. So on the other side of my world, I own a restaurant and, you know, I have this, I mean, we might make it through COVID. We might not, but I know that the world is going to have a lot of their restaurants close. So very sadly. And I would say, so I have this like mixed emotion where I almost feel like it is my duty to help other restaurant owners. Just like Mike Morris felt like it was his duty to help the other law owners, right? I just have this like internal, why would I not help as many people as I possibly can? And I think we have the authenticity to go after law firms because that's where it started. But let's just say book number two is Rising from the Ashes, how a restaurant can, you know, make it through a global pandemic and soar. I mean, it just feels like I'm, and I certainly, I mean, I don't want to say that all of it is altruistic. Like, I think that's a goldmine too, because again, there are restaurants that are going to just barely make it out of this and then need to find a way to soar again. I think there's business opportunity there. And I think that there, again, I mean, part of it is altruistic. I just really, in general, want to help other restaurant owners because this is like living through torture. But any reactions to that? Am I crazy? Is it too much to bite off? Like, what's your reaction?
Hi, it's Amy again. I don't think you're crazy.
okay.
At all. And I completely understand with your passion wanting to help other people. My family owns one of Wisconsin's oldest supper clubs. So oh, wow. They've been in business. Yeah. So I hear you. I understand what's happening in that industry right now with food businesses. And definitely there are lots of restaurant owners that need help. A lot of small businesses, restaurants, you know, are look great from the customer perspective. And in the back, they're just, it's a dysfunctional mess. So that is a sector that needs help, but their ability to pay you right now, their ability to be able to, you know, look to the future, lift themselves up and look to the future in terms of just customer value for your business right now, right?
Right.
Definitely they need help and definitely you could find clients there to assist. But again, my gut is just telling me that right now for you, you have a lot of opportunity with what you've created, especially if the book just launched in June of 2020.
Right.
And that doesn't mean like next year, a year from now, you couldn't be looking at those restaurants that were able to make it that far, them then being able to lift their heads up and look to the future again. It might be a very different picture 6 months from now, but at least for you with your market that you have now and the momentum you have, you've already got some trajectory.
Great. Yeah, it's really great feedback. I mean, the reality of putting another book out there, of course, is that we have to get ahead of it. So if we want to launch in a year, we have to start. I mean, so it's like this balancing act of trying to figure out what the priority is versus managing the immediate needs. But I thank you also for sharing the feedback. My heart goes out to all of the small businesses right now. It's really pretty brutal.
Sarah, how'd you connect it up? How'd you get connected up with the two attorneys? And what's your connection there?
Yeah.
And what expertise you bring?
It's a very, it's kind of a funny story. So I was actually sharing that with Tracy and Eric right before we got on. And I was let go from the former company that I was working for. They let everyone go during the pandemic. It was a speaking and we did a lot of workshops. So they just, I mean, revenue is, anyway. So in June, I was actually let go of my other job and I had to kind of network and see where I was going to land. And a good friend of mine said, you know, because I sent my resume, of course, to everyone, because that's what you do when you lose your job during the global, during a global pandemic. You just get on the horn. And a woman in my neighborhood that I'm friends with said, I think my uncle is looking for you. And she said, I can't believe that you sent me a resume today. And I just talked to my uncle, and her uncle is one of the authors, John Nockhazel. And I got on the phone with him, and we had an instant connection. I think that my experience, you know, kind of being, I'm really not a specialist. I'm more of a generalist. I have, you know, kind of a pretty broad acumen. I was in corporate America. I've been a part of startups. I've also opened my own business. And I think it was a really good fit. So I joined as a contract employee, and then have, you know, really kind of, the momentum has been tremendous, which has said, okay, we can take this. This is good. I can see the kind of the building blocks here. We have to get our factory in order to be able to service, you know, what I think will be the amount of demand, but they made me their chief marketing officer, and off we go. Kind of funny though, right? I mean, it's kind of, you know, the old adage of it's who you know, not what you know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Open the door, and then the what you know will keep you in the door.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Good point.
So you must be local then. You are.
So I'm from Minnesota originally. So I don't know if you detected my accent, but I'm from the Twin Cities. I'm from St. Paul. And so I always throw out the, yeah, sure, you betcha down here. They love it. So I live in Northeast Florida. So generally the Jacksonville, Florida area. And it's a little community called Ponte Vedra Beach. And the firm that I'm speaking of is based out of Detroit, Michigan. So I'm not local to Appleton, but I'm really grateful that you would allow presenters to come on, because this, you know, I mean, there's pros and cons, obviously, to what we're dealing with right now. One of the pros is that my chapter for 1 Million Cups is Daytona Beach, and it's a 2-hour drive for me. So it has allowed me to really come on and talk to other groups and network, and it's been really tremendous.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll have to connect with you offline, because I'm an attorney, and I have a firm here in Appleton, and we're right now. And so we're really looking kind of what growth picture do we have? And we do a lot with data. So I've been very impressed with the firm's data and systems. So I'm not familiar with the book, but definitely looking to grab that. And also, I grew up in Rochester, Minnesota. So
neat.
In that neck of the woods, and pretty familiar with Florida. I have relatives down there as well.
Oh, neat, Mike. Thank you.
Thanks for your time. And I will, I guess we'd love to talk offline. And
that sounds great.
We might be able to connect and services might work.
That's great. Thank you. Can you tell me, actually, knowing that you're an attorney now, you know, what's your perspective if I said to you as a potential client, well, now we're not going to go just after law firms. We're also going to go talk to orthopedics or pediatricians or dentists, or, you know, like, does that make you think like, huh, that discounts the credibility of what they've done? Or are you thinking?
No, I have to know what your secret sauce is a little more. And I don't know how much you understand the dental space, but there is quite a bit. I guess I have a really good friend who's in the dental space. And so there's programs like this in the dental space, is my understanding. I guess do some research there. That's just one other spaces, you know, traditionally high-end professionals are not great business people. They know their profession well, and you got to marry the people who like to do the profession, you know, like that space, be it attorneys or whatever, with those who also like it, but then they're more business people. So, but those are the successful practices that I've seen.
Yeah, that's great. What type of law do you practice?
Personally, intellectual property. So I'm a patent by trade, and then I do all intellectual property.
Oh, neat. Cool. I was at General Mills for most of my career, so I can very much appreciate that.
Okay, very good. Yeah, most of my career was in Kimberly-Clark. I was in-house counsel there for most of my career. And then
I've been
on the start of it, and then now private practice on the back end of it. So
that's tremendous. I have several friends at Kimberly-Clark, Craig Smith being one of them.
I worked with him for a little bit of time. So
yep. Cool. Good.
Starting monopolize.
Yeah. Eric, I feel like maybe you were going to say something and I'm cut you off.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. I think as far as if you're you said you're very passionate about the whole restaurant industry and would love to see this type of business exist in restaurants. And I think the best approach to that would be to have you be the brand of the restaurant division of this.
Hmm.
And, but then you can tap in, it would be the same company where you can share resources and things like that, but then you don't have that stigma of, well, is a lawyer going to look at this and say, well, we're doing all these other spaces now, and they feel, are they going to feel like we don't, we're not the right fit for them because we're doing everybody, whether where they want somebody that's just focusing on lawyers.
Yeah, that's
if
great.
If you wanted to expand then into further industries, you could then bring on another person that kind of fits into that industry, and they would be the face of that brand, but it would all feed back into this one company.
Mm-hmm. That's a great idea, actually. I can kind of see that coming to life. So I really, that's a great train of thought.
And the other part of that would be that my gut would tell me that your current partners are not passionate about working with restaurants. So they could just focus on the lawyers.
Yeah.
And the law firms. And then you could build a team of people that are passionate about the restaurants.
Right.
The restaurants.
Right.
And all the resources could play together.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So
it's funny. The gentleman that is the lawyer actually owns a restaurant too. So it's like been a pretty good fit because he kind of does, you know, have a passion and certainly an interest in building his restaurant. But yeah, so that's funny, but really great kind of feedback there. I can see how that could come to life, which is great. Okay.
Anybody else have any questions? Well, Andrew, since you were late, you can do the final question of the session.
Having a hard time hearing you, Eric. I don't know if anyone else. You're like, Mike is really quiet for me. Sarah's is fine and everyone else. But sorry I was late, Sarah, but it's nice to see you again.
Thank you, Andrew. Good to see you.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I'll rewatch your presentation on Facebook later. But
thank you,
Eric. Everyone else can hear Eric just fine.
It's pretty quiet.
Pretty quiet. Yeah, Eric, your headset, your fancy thing is not working. You try to overdo it sometimes and it just causes more problems. but I'll ask her the final question since Eric's mic is acting up. But, you know, was this asked already, Eric, or do we need to ask the final question?
You need to ask it.
Okay. Sarah, what can the community do for you?
Well, it's always such a generous question. And again, I just really appreciate being able to you know, come in front of you and ask you as we make our way kind of through the opening phases of this business. If you think of anything after today, please let me know. You know, Mike, I think your feedback is especially valuable because you're an attorney. So it's like, I want to nurture that law practice and that piece of our business without, you know, doing anything to, deviate too far and make, you know, lawyers feel uncomfortable. So that's really, really valuable. If you have, you know, a chance to read the book and give me feedback, that's great. Any other kind of, you know, law practices that you feel like would be a good fit? I mean, I'm happy to talk to them as well. So I guess just in general, you know, thank you for the feedback and helping me continue in the journey.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, hey, Sarah, thanks again for chiming in. Again, I always say, you know, if there's one good thing to come from COVID, like you said, it's being able to connect over these distances and meet other entrepreneurs. And the reason I was late actually was I was presenting in Columbus, Ohio. And it kind of went a little long in the QA. So I encourage anyone who's listening from Appleton, just like what Sarah's doing right now, there's this network of like 160 communities or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you can tap into and spread the word about your business and what you're doing and meet some really incredible entrepreneurs and get some great advice, you know, on how to scale your business. So I encourage people to just go check those out. And then, you know, also if you know businesses anywhere in the country that might want to present at 1 Million Cups Appleton, we would love to see their stories and to connect with them. So I feel like we're even though everyone might be in their homes and, you know, protecting themselves and, you know, socially distant, but we're closer than ever at 1 Million Cups, I think, and making connections from afar. So awesome.
That's great.
Hey, thanks, Sarah.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you all. I'll put my contact information in the chat if that's okay. And then if folks have any, you know, further feedback or thoughts or even just want to connect, then they've got that.
Awesome.
Excellent.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks. Have a good day.
Yeah, you guys too.
Thanks for listening to this week's speaker. And thank you for your continued support of 1 Million Cups and our community of entrepreneurs.